Welcome to That's Orgasmic, a podcast discussing the orgasmic and not so orgasmic moments of all things sex, relationships, and mental health. I am your host, Emily Duncan, and I'm a sexologist who provides online sex coaching sessions to help you cultivate sexual wellness. This podcast is being recorded on Wurundjeri land. We pay our respect to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past and present. We extend that respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. Please enjoy this episode. Welcome back to That's Orgasmic. This is part two of a two-part episode with Oliver Morden Evans. In the first episode, if you haven't already listened to it, Oliver and I discussed disability and sex within Australia and Oliver's experience with cerebral palsy, with sex education and being sexual with solo and partnered sex, and also dating and how he has navigated that experience. In this episode, we talk about sexual expression, what it is, and how you can create sexual expression if you are somebody who lives with a disability. And we also talk about how support workers and other healthcare professionals can better talk about sex or create a safe space for your clients in having this conversation around sex. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. And I guess to be clear, how would you define sexual expression?
Good question. So I think sexual expression, I mean, obviously is very different for everyone. So I can only speak for myself. But in terms of finding my sexual expression, it was really around finding spaces to be in that were either accepting or I knew would come to be accepting of me and of my body and of my desire. That would be one. I mean, also, I kind of didn't say it earlier, but I am also an erotic filmmaker. So I have made two films now. The first film was released a couple of years ago, and it ended up winning a film festival in Melbourne and was featured in the San Francisco Porn Film Festival, as well as in Seattle, which is available online. Which is an erotic film to really show like the connection that two interabled people can have, because I want to make it overtly clear to people that disability doesn't preclude two humans from having really deep intimate connection. And you know, it being sexual as well. But for me, these films are erotic and basically porn, but they also have a really good educational slant to them as well, because I want to show disabled bodies being sexual and being sexually desired and desirable.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I'll make sure to add that in the show notes as well, because do you ever see representation of that, really? Like, unless you're really seeking for it, it's not something that we just see, or that comes up really in movies too much. I think you've done an amazing job there and filled such a need.
Well, I think also, just on that note quickly, like, when you do see it in online or wherever, in a highly sexual context, it's often, you know, like a fetishized way. So I think disability is often fetishized by able-bodied people, unfortunately. So I wanted to show something that wasn't that at all. And I think, yeah, it's a real danger in that, only in that. I'm not against that for disabled people that are turned on by that kink. I think there are many people out there, and I'm not I don't want to wish to kink shame anyone around that, but I also think there's another voice that needs to be heard as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we can, bring awareness to both sides, which, is super important. And coming back to that sexual expression, I might even chime in with like what I think, how sexual expression shows up for me. I find it obviously in being physically sexual, but then even sometimes to just putting on an outfit that makes me feel sexy. Even my like what the podcast, I find that's a form of my sexual expression. Even just reading smutty books, like I find even that too. So it can be so broad. So I guess if you're somebody who is living with a disability and like listening now, and let's say you haven't had much space in your life to be able to create that sexual expression or feel into it, or you've been told you shouldn't be sexual. Do you have any advice on how they can find or create their own sexual expression?
Yeah, no, I mean, what you say, I think, is entirely correct. And I think we often in society think that sexual expression has to be like a partnered activity. It's something that you do with other people, because we think of partnered sex as sex, and we think of, in the same way we think only really of penetrative sex as the real sex, unfortunately, whereas there's so much more complexity to sex and sexuality there. So I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head in terms of, you know, we can find ways to express our sexuality on, by ourselves, you know, and really tap into that, you know, that really that life force energy that lives in every one of us, really. So I mean, I strongly believe there are ways to tap into that, no matter what your disability is. And as I said, like I said, I can't speak for everyone, but I do believe, you know, I've come up with ways myself, just through, you know, like meditative practices, breathing, you know, breathing practices. You know, I think there are ways, you know, just even to have a erotic or even non-erotic massage, I think really brings people back into their bodies. And in essence, just being in your body can be being feeling in being aware of your sensations in your body can be highly sexual and arousing. So I, you know, I advocate for things like even kink play. There are things that you can bring, you know, exercises you can do around you know, feeling into different parts of your body, whether you can feel them with your hands or not, you know. So I think there are ways and means to really, you know, find ways to have a closer connection to your body.
Yeah. And even those suggestions there, like breathing, that's something, you know, everyone can really do anywhere. Mm. Obviously, if breathing is something that's, you know, easy for you and doesn't cause pain, that's something we can tap into anywhere. And I can imagine with those like courses you did with the, like orgasmic breathing and meditation, your breathing is probably 10 times better than everybody else's. But I love, I guess, those suggestions for ways that people can tap into that. Is there anything else when it comes to sexual expression that you think is important to talk about?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're talking from a disability point of view. So, I think it's really important. I mean, we kind of said it already, but it's very important, I think, for people with disability to be able to tap into their sexual expression, and I don't think it looks the same for everyone. I think it really depends. There's so many different factors that come into play, complex factors. So I think, it's really important to also, like, for the person themselves to, you know, be kind to themselves and to be able to acknowledge the difficulties that, unfortunately, having a disability places, I guess, in society, because we all maybe want to go to the certain places that it's not accessible, but finding other ways, to really be creative, I think. It's probably the key word, be creative in how you can express your sexuality and find ways to, find things to do that bring you joy and bring pleasure to you. I think, I personally think that it's quite common for people with disability to focus on pain. And to actually, like, flip the switch to put more focus on pleasure and finding ways to bring, like, bodily pleasure, I think it's really important, because that kind of opens up new neurological pathways to really having more happiness, I think, in life.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it even just got me thinking then, like, with sexual expression, ways to access it with being creative. Like, if you can write, writing down an erotic story, speak an erotic story, think of one, if, use your imagination, even, touch, like sensory feathers or different materials that make you feel like sexy. Like, I know a silk robe for me, whenever that comes on, it's sensual. Listening, there's so many erotic stories now. Dipsy, I love as an app. And then obviously visual, like porn, or whether that's, looking at somebody like else, let's say you have a partner or whatever, just, them, I don't know, giving you a sexy dance or something. There's just, you can tap into all of your senses if you have access to that. And you can do that all by yourself without even needing others.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, particularly for men, I think I'm tapping into your sensual side is often, I would say, more taboo for men.
Yeah.
So layering that on top, I think, it's quite is quite a something important to work to move through. But yeah, once you do, I think it helps you to obviously have a much more embodied experience and to really like be able to, like focus on all the different ways you can have pleasure rather than just penetrative sex, which might not be available to everyone or might not be as regular for people. So there were so many ways to express that part of you.
Yeah. Now, I know there'll be a lot of people listening who are health professionals, support workers, OTs, people in the field who work within the disability space. Do you have any advice on how they can better support their clients if they bring up the topic of sex, or if they ask for, let's say, a support worker or occupational therapist, whoever it is, to help them access sexual aids?
Well, I mean, look, first of all, this is a complex, very complex scenario, I think. But what is really important for me is that for people that want to help people with disabilities around sex and being more sex positive, is to really look inward and be a little bit more reflecting on where they might have some blocks around their sexuality, because it's really hard to hard to want to help someone else if you have your own the hang-ups and beliefs around sexuality. So I mean, that's a big one, but I think that's really important to be able to start helping other people wanting to be more sexual. I think really understanding that sexuality is not just sex, but sexuality in general. A human sexuality is a basic human right, and a really important part of being human. So I think in order to live a really full life, I think that's an area that needs to be addressed. But once you do that, I think it's really important to be able to create a safe space to be able to talk about sex and sexuality with your clients or the people that you work with. I think often disabled people might feel embarrassed or not feel comfortable to talk about it. So there may be a way that you can bring it up to say, if you ever wanted to talk about that, I'm open to, hearing that and to receive that and to see how I can help, I think that's definitely the first step, because I know that often people with disability can have a lot of internalized ableism around their sexuality due to how society treats them as a sexual person. So I think that's really important to create a safe space to talk about it. And then also just to after that, if you don't have all the answers, know who you can refer to, or find resources, to help. Even if you don't know the answer yourself, I think the worst thing you can do is place your unconscious bias onto trying to help someone, get the facts. So I think it's really important in insects, we, you know, it's often very taboo, and you know, we don't like talking about these topics in public. So just be mindful of that and how best we can support people.
Yeah, I love everything you said then. And as a support worker myself, I guess, like, what I do is I, one, just listen and, like, just hold that space. Definitely, as you said, like, don't project any shame. And if you don't feel comfortable having that conversation, or if you feel that you don't have adequate knowledge in that area, as you said, be like, okay, I will go try and find some resources, or here's some, or, you know, let's try and find some together. Like, you know, let's, I don't know, get Google up and, you know, work collaboratively together, yeah, to be able to do that as well, to give them some, to give more autonomy in that space and conversation.
For sure.
Yeah, so I would love to know, I ask this as my last question with everyone, what is something that is orgasmic to you?
Yeah, I find it's a really good question. I mean, I find the simplest pleasures to be often the most orgasmic. So you know, whether it's sexual or not, I really like to separate, you know, an orgasmic idea that it has to be sexual. So I think it can even just be like a massage, or like a neck massage, or like someone running their hands through my hair, or, you know, like the simplest things I find can be even the most orgasmic. I like to think that I can have many moments like that if in my life, if I focus on those moments, you know. That would be mad.
Yeah, I love that. And I think there are so many orgasmic moments throughout our day if we just stop to acknowledge them as we're feeling them. Whether that's that first sip of coffee in the morning, the feeling of sun on your skin, putting lotion on, eating your favorite meal, just actually stopping and going, this feels really good. I feel like that just adds so much more pleasure to your life.
I think being able to focus on really what you're grateful for can really help you to feel more alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have, for like any listeners that want to find like your Instagram on like sexuality, I know you had a podcast. Do you still post on that podcast, or like about to reboot it?
Not yet. So I think we did about 6 or 7 episodes of that particular podcast. So I am looking to start one up again at some stage. However, I will be starting to post more content on my Instagram, and I might be doing some Instagram live soon. So yeah, if people want to follow me, then you can put my handle in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on and being so open and vulnerable and informative. I really appreciated it.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.